What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Wizards of Galaxy Plays podcast. Brendan and Dama back on the show. It is Thursday, April 11th. Only a couple more Wizards games, and then we are done for the year. But it's been a while since we recorded. We've been trying to do it for a couple weeks, and because of scheduling, and I got other stuff. I got a lot of stuff going on right now that I'm trying to work around, so it's been a little bit difficult for me to try and work out a good time to record. But we were finally able to set some time aside today to do that. And while I'm not excited to talk about the results of the season from a win-loss record, it is nice to do a little bit of a catch-up. Going to give you guys Bilal Coulibaly's season review today. And then as the season ends, then we'll get to all the other guys. But since Bilal has not been playing for some time and his season is already done, it's good to get his done and out of the way, especially when you consider we're probably going to take a lot of time to talk about him and his development plan going forward and all that other good stuff. Before we get into that, if you're not already subscribed, please subscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. It really helps us out. We're going to definitely try to record more over the off season. It's just been kind of gruesome for the most part. And I know that the team has been a lot more watchable lately, if that's the word you want to use. But for me, it still hasn't been enough to weren't putting out good content, but shout out to the guys who were still putting out good content in the Wizards podcast community. I know a lot of people are still active on X and talking about this team, and at least it seems like we're building some positive momentum heading into the offseason despite the win-loss record. So that's been a good sign to see from afar. I haven't watched a game, and I couldn't tell you how long, but Dama, my man. Before we get into Bilal specifically, I need you to catch me up, man. What's been going on? The last podcast we recorded was February 18th, I believe I said it was. We were recapping the trade deadline. Of course, Daniel Gafford going to Dallas and absolutely balling out there still. But since then, man, what's been happening with this team? What have they changed? How's Poole looked? How the young guys looked? How what's the feel with Brian Keefe? You got to give me all that, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty much a young guy showcase, I would say, over the last, 20-25 games. Kisper has looked better. Poole has looked better playing on ball, exclusively a point guard. Denny has obviously looked better. And it's pretty much been their show. Because Kuz has kind of been in and out of the lineup. Tyus has pretty much been out of the lineup. I would probably wager to say he might have played his last game as a Wizard, but it's been kind of the kid show, and I think the offense has looked more sustainable. It looks more like an offense that I could see them carrying over into next year and beyond, versus kind of what they had been doing before, where it's get it off the rebound, push it fat, transition, and then give it to Tyus, or Kuz ISO. It's been a little bit more modern to me, where it's high pick and roll with Poole, and it's kind of counters off of that with Kisper being a shooter, Denny being a shooter, attacking closeouts, getting the ability to run the offense himself. So I've liked what they've done offensively. The issue, and it's been the issue all year, it's the defense. I mean, they have, especially with Rashawn Holmes out of the lineup, who's probably been their best rim protector this year, if you look at the numbers. When he's not in the lineup, man, they can't stop anything in the lane. I mean, it's bad. It's a layup line, pretty much. And so then, and then Bagley's been out of the lineup. When they have to play games with no center, no true center, and really just Vuk there, like it's ugly, man. They're gonna give a 130 minimum. And so, it's just kind of one of them like track meet type games where they trading buckets, or they might start off well, like how they did against the Timberwolves, but ultimately they can't stop anybody. So.
And what's the feel with Brian Keefe at this point? Is this the guy that you would like for them to to bring back and move forward with? Or are you kind of looking at other candidates, or are you more so look at other candidates and at the end of the day, if they still like Keith, then go for it?
Yeah, it's hard to say because Keith hasn't really had a whole roster. Like, it's like he'll get a guy back and another guy is out. I've liked some of the things he's done with the young guys to kind of better maximize their skill sets. I even think you see some of that with like Jared Butler off the bench. Like, you know, his play has been amazing as a backup point guard, you know, which is why he's probably earned the contract he got. But the defense, it's hard to really gauge them defensively because they're playing some of these games with Anthony Gill at center or Patrick Baldwin Jr. at center. Like, you just, I mean, you're not going to beat anybody with that. So it's tough, man. I really don't know. I would say I think he's done enough as far as the young guys' development and kind of taking strides to say he deserves an interview, at least a look. But I want them to go through the whole process and do a thorough search. And if you come back to Keith, you come back to Keith. But, yeah, do a full search for a guy.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at with it, too. And again, I haven't watched many games, but reading what everyone has been saying about what Keith has been implementing with the team, I think it's definitely worth considering bringing him back. But I wouldn't necessarily go ahead and lock that in either. And you never know what coaches are going to become available after some, potential playoff collapses and whatnot. So, better to just do a full search, like you said. And again, if Keith's the guy that the Wizards come back to and they want to keep him going forward, then I'm sure it will have been well-deserved. Again, like you said, with guys being in and out of the lineup and with Anthony Gill and Baldwin playing center, you logistically cannot run an NBA defense and you can barely run an NBA offense. So the fact that they're at least catering to guys' skill sets to try and get the most out of them, I think that's a good sign. And that's really what we've been asking for. Like earlier, you were mentioning pull, pick, and roll, using Kispert as a shooter, letting Denny be a shooter, and someone who attacks the defense. It's like we've been asking for just those simple things all year. And
basically, some of the ball.
Yeah. They just let guys do what they're good at, maximize the skill sets. And we know that West was not going to be the guy for that to happen under. So they made a change. And yeah, it was I will say it was unexpected when they fired him. I will also say that they should have done it long before. But, you know, we're here where we are now. We got somewhat an exciting future to look forward to. Hopefully we'll see what comes out of this draft class. And, of course, we'll get into all that as we get into more episodes in the offseason and get closer to June. Right now, though, I do want to take some time to talk about Bilal Coulibaly and his rookie year. And I guess we can start this off. Let's go back to the draft in the first place so that we can give this conversation some context. Bilal Coulibaly was the guy that I wanted the Wizards to draft on draft night, no matter what, whether it was at eight, or whether they had to move somewhere to get him. That was the guy I wanted no matter what in the draft. Do you share that same sentiment, or did you like want somebody else ideally, realistically?
So I had him in the range with obviously we know the top five, you know, Wimby, Brandon Miller, Scoot, and then the Thompson twins, although my order was a little different than consensus. After those five, the next group I had was Black, Bilal, and Cam Whitmore. I think I had it in order, Black, then Whitmore. I had Whitmore, I had Cam, Black, and then Bilal. So when I kind of assumed that the Magic were going to go Black, I was like, it's either Bilal or Cam Whitmore. And then it ended up being Bilal. So, on draft day, I was happy with that. I thought, you know, when we traded up, they said the Pacers took him, I was like, what the hell? And then it came out that we traded up and they took him for us. So I was excited with the pick. that was one of the guys on the list, you know, that kind of had all of the metrics and tools, young age, the athleticism, 99th percentile athlete, that you would think a guy like Dawkins would target. So, yeah, I was excited with the pick. Still excited with the pick.
Yeah, me too. That being said, there are a lot of positives to take away from this season, but let's be real about the type of player and pick that this was originally. This was always a high upside, but potentially you may not get much out of him type pick, meaning that he has all the physical traits to be very successful at the next level. At a minimum, he could be a 3-and-D player, and I think that we saw that this year. But we're hoping that we can get a little bit more out of him. And again, coming into the league, he was the youngest, if not one of the youngest rookies in this draft class. And certainly that means that he was one of the youngest, if not the youngest player in the league heading into the year. So he has a lot of time to get better and improve. And I'm sure he will. I trust this front office to at least be able to give him the resources to get to the level that I'm sure we all want him to get to from a realistic standpoint. I think that hopefully we can see eventually what is an all-star, hopefully all NBA level player. I'm not going to go out there and say, you know, he's going to win MVP 5 times and he's going to go to the Hall of Fame or anything like that. I'm hoping that he can at least get to an all-star level by year, like, 4 or 5. That's what I'm hoping for. And I think that he has the tools and the skill set, the base skill set to do that. Certainly he has a lot to improve on, but we could talk about some of the positives. I mean, to start the year, the guy was stroking it from three. I mean, he was, I think, what, above 50% from three for much of the first half of the season, it felt like, and then it kind of tanked off. And we were just looking over his shot chart here. From the left wing and the left corner, he was above league average in shooting in the 40s. And then the right side of the floor is where he needs the improvement, because that's where you start to see the low 30s and the high 20s. Didn't shoot much mid-range shots. It was either at the rim or the three, which is good for the analytics people, because I know a lot of guys don't like the mid-range. I think that if he's going to take that next level to be a three-level threat, he needs to work on that mid-range and his in-between game, which I'm sure he will, and I'm sure that they realize that that's something that if you want to be a dynamic wing in this game, it's something that you need in your skill set. So I'm sure he'll improve on that. But at the rim, 55%, league average is 59-something. For his size and his athleticism, it's got to be much better than that next year. And like you said, and I don't want to take too much spotlight from you, because I want to give you your chance to give your opinion. But a lot of the time, he just kind of goes up and doesn't really know what to do with the ball. It's like there's no plan or creativity. And so I think that that will fix at least part of that percentage. I think a lot of it, too, is just realizing, like, you know, these are NBA-level athletes. So they're a lot more athletic than the talent that he's used to. And now he is no longer he still may be like top tier athletically if you want to talk about percentiles, but now you're playing with people that and against people that can be just as athletic, just as dangerous athletically, but also now smarter. And they have the coaching staffs to help them pick up on things. So you're not going to be able to just go up under the rim on 6'11", 7-foot guys and not expect it to get swatted or at least bothered in some respect. But I'll give you your chance now to talk about what you saw in Bilal this year and how you think he can take the next step going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it started off really good. I mean, November, December, he was, you know, he had a true shooting percentage in the, you know, mid-60%. And, you know, coaches make adjustments, scouting reports catch up, and they force you to do things you don't want to do or you're not necessarily good at yet. And one of those things with him is just kind of he kind of jumps without a plan at the rim. And then on his shot, he has somewhat of a slow release. And then teams just started just daring him to shoot, like it almost playing like a mental mind game with him where they were just giving him, like, you know, the Ben Simmons treatment, where they were just letting him shoot, leaving him open. And I feel like he kind of hesitated, because he didn't want to overshoot, or it wasn't a shot that was kind of in rhythm, or and I think that got in his head. But you know, as a rookie, I feel like he had a good season. It just kind of, the way it progressed, you would have liked to have seen the two bad shooting months come first, and then him kind of get better, and then he finished the year shooting 60% true shooting. But it kind of, it was the inverse. So I just think he just, you know, it was a good season. I think it's definitely something he can learn from. And like you say, that mid-range game, adding some go-to moves, I think that will benefit him a lot if he wants to be more than just a stand in the corner, catch and shoot guy. Because, you know, the stars have three-level scoring ability. They are allowed to kind of test the waters a little bit with the mid-range game. But if you're just going to be a role player, then yeah, all you're going to shoot is threes and layups. But I'm hoping he wants more than that.
Yeah, I'm hoping so too. And again, I think that he'll get there, and he seems like someone who is obviously very intelligent, I think, for his age, and his basketball IQ in some respect is already very good at his age, I would say so. I think it's just going to be more so about the on-court progression. I think we need to see that shot ironed out a little bit. It still looks a little bit too slow. Doesn't get much lift on it. He does get lift when he does take the mid-range jumpers, but I think that we'd like to see that lift be a little bit more apparent on his set shot. The mid-range game and having at least somewhat of a bag, and then I think what will help all of that is by getting in the weight room a little bit and putting on some muscle. I'm not saying he needs to come out, you know, next season weighing, you know, 235 pounds and, you know, looking like Siakam or Giannis or anything like that, but we want to slowly start to see his body get filled out a little bit more. Because I think ultimately that will help everything with his game, and it will more so just help his confidence, because he'll know that physically he'll be able to keep up with a lot of these other wings in the NBA when we know that it's becoming more and more of a premium position with a lot of depth. So, but yeah, I mean, and it looked like he was going to be the starter for them too for the rest of the year until he got hurt. So we missed out on some valuable time, but hopefully he's recovering nicely, and he'll be ready to go for summer league, assuming that he plays. And I hope that they let him play, because he really needs that extra time on the court. That was one of the things that always bothered me with Tommy, is that they would always play the first year and then they wouldn't play the second year when they clearly still needed the time for the development. So I'm hoping that they keep Koulibaly on the summer league team, just so we can kind of see where he's progressed over the summer before we get into the fall and we're just kind of going in blind with expectations. But he had a really good season, though, man. If you had to put a grade on it, I would give it a solid B, given that we weren't expecting much. He had a really, really hot start to the season. I know it kind of tailed off for a little bit, but, you know, he's a rookie again, 19 years old-ish. So, I mean, I'm going to give it a B. It wasn't anything outstanding, but with what was expected, relatable to the production that we got on the court, I think it's worth a B.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say the first 2 months were an A, and then the last 2 months were like Ds. For me, you know, that kind of comes out to like a low B, high C for his rookie year, which is, you know, that's what you kind of asked for. And with some things to build on and work on this summer.
Moving on to some of the other guys on the team. I know that Denny Avdija has probably been, I don't know if you want to say our best. If you want to exclude Kuzma, he's probably been our best player all season. And what have you seen from him since the trade deadline, and what you think his role will be with this franchise going forward? Because it seems like he's kind of evolving from a role player to being a star player. And I don't mean all-star or all NBA, but I think he can be like one of our star marquee players going forward. And I want to get your thoughts on where you see him and his development and his future going forward here.
Yeah, this one's a little tricky for me because, you know, when you just look at the raw numbers since, you know, around end of January, February, it's like, oh, 18 points a game, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, you know, shooting 50, 40, 75, if I'm not mistaken. And they're great numbers, but like watching the games, I come away with kind of just somewhat hesitation because of how he's getting the numbers. You know, it's, you know, obviously we're a bad team, so somebody got to shoot. We run a lot of high pace, fast break basketball, and it's a lot of track meet stuff. So we're going up and now we get the rebound. You're attacking a defense backpedaling so you can get a layup. And to his credit, I think Denny has figured out just simply what works. And he's just going to spam that shit until you can't stop it. And that, to me, is the marquee of a high IQ guy. Like, you figure out what works in your game and also know what doesn't work. And to be honest with you, Jordan Poole could stand to learn a thing or two from that approach, like learning what works, learning what doesn't work, and just stick to it. Don't do nothing else. And to Denny's credit, that getting it off the rim, pushing the break, getting a layup against a retreating defense. He does not have a left, but he doesn't try to go left. He just stays going right. Get that right-hand layup off. Use your size and drop that shoulder. If the ref is not going to call it, instead of complaining about not getting a call like he's done in the past, you initiate the contact. You know, you're 6'9", 230 plus. You can be physical. And it's been a godsend for his game and his efficiency, even to me more so than him shooting the three at a 40% clip. Because although that's been a great addition to his game, I think the biggest factor has been him deciding, hey, I'm going to get to this right-hand drive and I'm going to make this layup or seek contact and get fouled no matter what, especially against a retreating defense. Where I have some questions is, what happens when you play quality teams, you know, and we're talking about portions of the game where each possession matters and they are forcing you to play a half court game? That, I think, is the next step for him. And that's where I kind of pause when we start talking about a star, because the stars, they can get it in the fast break. They can get it in the half court. They can get it in pick and roll. They can get it going right. They can get it going left. At the rim, midi, three ball. And I don't see that complete repertoire or tool kit for him yet. I just see him kind of mastering. He's mastered the Phillips screwdriver and the hammer, right? But he needs to add the flathead, the buzzsaw. He got to put some more tools in his bag before I go to star, because like in a game like the Timberwolves, right? They were winning the first quarter because Poole was shooting lights out. Kispert was shooting lights out. And then they went into a drought. They could not hit shots. They were giving up buckets. And through that point, Denny just kind of sat eye by and just watched it happen, because they put Nickeil Alexander-Walker on him, and then they put Jaden McDaniels on him. And them dudes got up in his airspace, forced him left, and he literally couldn't get a shot off. And that's the Denny where I'm like, okay, this summer, you need to come back with a counter to that. Because when we start playing quality basketball, you're going to need to have a half-court attack. You're going to need to have counters. It's not going to be able to be just, oh, it's a fast break, let me drive right, get a quick layup. you're going to have to be able to do a little bit more than that if you want to be in that conversation as, okay, top three, top two guy on the team, go-to score. You're going to need some more counters. So I'm excited to see what he does this summer. I'm encouraged by, like I say, his approach, his mentality changed this year, and just being able to stick to what he's good at. But now I think you gotta add on to that this summer, and you gotta come back with some more, like I say, with some more tools in that toolkit.
So give me the lowdown with Jordan Poole, man. I guess he's been playing better as of recently since they moved in the point guard. It's kind of opened things up a little bit for him, and I've seen some he could just be the point guard going forward type discussion. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that and see how you feel about his game and his development over the year, and you know what would be your ideal plan in place for him this offseason and going into next year? Like, what would his role be and all that? So what you got on Poole?
Yeah, I mean, it's not much different than what I said before the year started. I mean, we talked about this before. Like, I wanted the starting backcourt to be Poole and Bilal. I feel like they should have went with that out the gate. But I understood what the premise was, trying to start Tyus, you know, getting DeLon reps, because you were probably trying to showcase those guys for a trade. And I just feel like they wasted about 50 games of development for Poole, because he's the same age as Corey Kispert. So if we're looking at Corey Kispert and saying, you know, there's development for him, he can get better, then why wouldn't Jordan Poole be able to? Right. And so now we're in the backstretch of the year, and you're playing kind of these meaningless games against teams that are kind of ready to pack it in. And it's like, all right, what would this have looked like if he had got these reps when the games really matter, when you were actually playing for something? You know, would you have your answer? Would you know if he could really run point guard? Because even now with these games on the back end, I don't know that you can. But I right. can say that he's looked better. The numbers are better. He looks more comfortable. He looks even more engaged defensively because he's getting touches on the ball. He's not coming down the court and waiting for Tyus to run a play, or waiting for Kuzma to get his touches on it and then the ball swing back to him with, you know, four seconds left on the shot clock, and then he got to throw up some BS. He's getting the ball and he's initiating the action. The high screen is coming for him, and he gets to make counters off of that, which he's actually really good at. Reading the defense off of a pick and roll. So, I think that's the way forward. You're stuck with the contract. You're not, so you might as well make the best of it. It just never made sense to take a guy that played point guard next to Steph Curry, a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, when Poole got in the game and Steph played next to him, Steph moved to the off guard spot, and Poole was the primary ball handler. And then in games where Steph didn't play, Poole was still the primary ball handler, and he would play off of Clay. So to then come here, and then the staff tells you, "Oh, well, you're going to play off of Tyus," it just never made sense to me. You know, that you would tell a 23-year-old kid that, hey, you're gonna play off of a career backup like that. It just never made sense. But we're here now. Hopefully the front office does what I will hope at this point they know needs to happen this summer, and we can get a full look at what Poole at point guard is, and then we can go from there, make a full evaluation of the type of player he is going forward.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point, and I mentioned this in our chat the other day, but I'm not going to look too much into the late in the year when guys are resting or not playing as hard because they know that the playoffs is coming up, or the team that they're going against, well, their season's already done too. So I remember once upon a time, Kevin Serafin looked like Hakeem Olajuwon for about a 10-game stretch or so. So, you know, I mean, I'm not going to look too deep into that. But I do agree that the plan should be for now to at least have him as the opening night point guard. next season. I would say that depending on how the lottery pans out, there could be some really tough decisions that the Wizards have to make. And if they draft a guy, you know, do you sacrifice giving that guy minutes? And I don't want to say stunt his development, but I guess you're not giving him that starting job. And do you do that to play a guy like Jordan Poole, where we're still trying to figure out exactly, you know, what he is and what he can bring to the table for this franchise? Because some nights he looks like he can be a franchise player, and then other nights it looks like he shouldn't even be on the court. So it just gets a little bit more interesting if they're in a position to where if the best player available for them at that spot, how does that look? And so
It could be interesting. It kind of reminds me of the Cavs when they had why is his name escaping me? What's the kid out of Alabama? Colin Sexton. Yeah, they had Sexton, and then, you know, they're sitting there at five a couple years later in the draft, and they take Darius Garland. You know, it was just like the talent was just too good to pass up on that, and then that ultimately they had to move Darius Garland, and then, you know, I mean, they had to move Sexton, and then Darius Garland became an all-star for him. So if they see a point guard in this draft that they project as an all-star, but then you take that guy and you figure out Jordan Poole later. But I don't think you draft that point guard with the idea that they can play with Jordan Poole, because that would just be silly. Right. So, but whatever they do, I'll trust whatever direction they go.
Yep, for sure. Corey Kispert, man, give me what you got on Kispert. I know that he's been playing really, really well lately, I guess. So give me everything you got on him and his development and his role on the team going forward. It looks like it could be kind of solidified here.
Yeah, I honestly think he's probably benefited the most out of the three guys with the whole kind of office of philosophy change under Keith. With Poole the point guard, Denny Moore on ball. He's just getting some way more. His shot quality, I feel like, has gone up. He's getting better looks. He's being more aggressive. They're kind of allowing more him to be a scorer instead of just a spot shooter. And he's benefited from him. I think since February 1, he's averaging like 16 points a game, shooting 40% from three. So I don't know what's going on with his free throws this year, but I'm gonna just call that a blip and an anomaly. Since his first 2 years, he was 85%. But he's been balling, man. He's looking more like I said, a three-level scorer versus just a guy that just stands in the corner. So I hope to see more of it. I hope he comes back this summer with some type of defense. Like, he just need to do defensive slide drills all summer. Don't do shit else. Just do defensive slide drills with some damn ankle weights, and then come back this summer. And hopefully he can guard something, because that to me is the only thing that's keeping him from being a 30-minute per game player.
Oh, sorry, I was muted. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's always been, a very translatable piece. It's why when we talked about trades the past couple years, he's been a guy that's been brought up. And it's not because we don't think that he's valuable. And in fact, it's quite the opposite. We think that he can be really valuable to a lot of teams that need a player like that, who can kind of, bring you a three-level threat. You know, he's decent in the mid-range, good at the three, finishes well at the rim relative to what's expected from him. So I think that he's definitely a player worth keeping around going forward and seeing what you can get out of him, especially if they're able to re-sign him to a deal like they were Denny. If they can get him on a steal of a contract like that, then, you know, the Wizards got some trade assets moving forward.
So you bringing that up kind of rung in my head. Like, would you consider him a kind of untradeable asset at this point, along with a Denny and Bilal, Vuk possibly with this young core? Would you consider him part of that?
I don't know if I would say I don't think that there's an untradeable player on this team right now besides Bilal. And the only reason I'm even including Bilal, or I guess I would probably put Tristan in that, And the only reason I'm saying that is because they just drafted the guys. Anyone else I would still put on the table if it was. I guess you could kind of include Denny in that conversation. But if we're upgrading from Denny, then, I mean, obviously, then he's worth including in a deal. But I think for his age and what we need, I think that Denny's a good enough player. So I wouldn't call him untradeable. I just would prefer not to. And that's kind of how maybe I feel about Kispert. Like, I would prefer not to trade him, but I wouldn't say he's untradeable, if that makes sense.
Gotcha, gotcha. So when I say untradeable, I mean even if you were offered first-round pick, unprotected first-round pick or more, would you let them go?
For Kispert?
Yeah, for any one of the guys, like, you know, Kispert too, but any one of the guys, who would you say, nah, I'd rather just keep my player and develop him more?
I think that I'd probably do an unprotected for Kispert, depending on where, but then it's like, see, we're going over this now with Daniel Gafford because we just did it. And it's like, we trade away a guy, but then we're going to have a pick in the mid to late 20s. And you don't know if you're going to get a player that's going to be as good as Daniel Gafford. So that also kind of ties into that conversation. I wonder if the Wizards are somewhat, you know, regretting that decision now. I don't know, man. I guess it depends on if it's this draft, then no. But if it's like for next draft, I think I would part with Kispert, but not Denny.
But not Denny. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, I think, you know, on the Gaffer thing, I think we got to wait and see what happens with the pick. And it's just tough to know until, you know, it kind of all the way plays out. I'm just always at a mindset like a drop center. You can get a first. I think you do that for a rebuilding team. Now, if this was John Wall and Bradley Beal team, no. But it's Jordan Poole and Denny Avdija team. So you need some assets. And that was a way to get one. So they just gotta make do with the pick. I'm hoping they could take it and move up. Take that pick with some seconds and move up, you know, into the 20 higher 20s. Or even the late teens.
Yeah. I think that that's kind of what I'm hoping at this point with that pick, because I think that if it stands pat at wherever it's going to be this year, they're not going to get that great of a player. But you're kind of hoping that they're able to package something with it to move up to get a better player, even if that means, you know, you're trading one of the expireds. You know, you're trading Bagley or you're trading Rashawn Holmes and you're taking back worse salary. With more years on it. I think that's something that they have to consider at this point.
Yeah. I'm ready for this draft to get here, man. I think it's, you know, it's no telling how this board is going to fall, man. I mean, there's no real consensus across board. So it's no telling who's going to be there at that pick. It's really no telling, man.
Oh, of course. Tristan Vucevic. That was the last guy I wanted to talk about. Tristan. So I haven't seen any of the games. I've watched all the highlights and all the games that he's been in. Offensively, he looks very, very good and very translatable. And it's looking like as long as he continues to progress and stays on the court, that he's going to be a very helpful player for a long time. And when it comes to being a second round pick where he was selected, that's about as much as you could hope for. From a guy like that. So what have you seen from Tristan? And I'm sure it's going to be nothing too negative here. It looks like he's played really well.
Yeah, man, he plays like a big forward, honestly, like almost kind of like KP in a sense, where it's just, you know, he's going to shoot it with confidence. He has more mobility than you would think just looking at him. And yeah, like I said, he's skilled, man. He's very skilled. He looks like he's just a pro. Like, so they might have found a good rotation piece. I'm not sure if I can go. You know, I've seen some people comparing him to Nikola Jokic. I'm like, it's a little too much. Let's pump the brakes.
Right.
But yeah, he can play, man. He can play. Like, I see some kind of, I see like a Kelly Olynyk type. And if you can find that in round two, that's a win, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems like a player that's going to be able to help stretch the floor, and he looks like a really high IQ player who passes the ball well. And I think at minimum, that's going to be, I mean, light years better than what we've had at the big man position since, I mean, ever?
Yeah, ever.
Yeah, I'm excited for him and his development. Go for it. Here's a question. Would you try and make, depending, let's say they don't draft a center. Would you try and have him be the starter next year, or would you start Bagley or Holmes?
If they don't draft a center at all this draft?
Yeah.
Oof. I think that would be a bad idea, but for the sake of argument, if they didn't, would I start him, Bagley, or Holmes? Well, what is the goal? Is the goal to win or the goal to lose so we could get Flag or Ace Bailey?
The goal is to try to put the most tolerable team possible.
So to win. Are we trying to win or are we trying to tank? What are we trying to do?
Not to win, but just, you know, like look like you know what you're doing. Like you're playing the right guys. Like the stuff that we were asking Wes to do. Because that's
okay, so the guy would be Booth then, if we're doing that. But I think defensively you're going to be ass and you're going to lose games, which I think is what they want to do so that they could get a top talent in the 25 draft. But if you're asking me who's the best player to play to help them win, it's probably Holmes.
Fair enough.
Like the best fit as far as what they need, because they need a force on the glass, defensive glass. They need a quality screen setter. And they need somebody that can rim roll and you know, finish in the paint. And Holmes does that. So playing him would help them win games. Playing Vuk would mean more development. It would mean bad defense. It would mean more L's so they can go higher in this draft.
Right. Well, I think that's all the players that I wanted to talk about today. Was there anyone else, anything you wanted to go over? I know we're itching to talk about some draft stuff here, but we'll get into that more as we get into the offseason.
We're on plenty of time for that, for sure. But no, that's all I got, man. This season's been long enough. Been a lot of L's, man. So I'm happy that it's winding down. I'm ready to get to the draft and start really, really evaluating these prospects coming in and see who's going to be the next Wizard.
For sure. And I do want to thank you guys for those of you that have listened to us all season long. Again, we really appreciate it. I know that we didn't get to record as much as I'm sure you guys would have liked, and certainly as much as we would have liked, but I appreciate you guys sticking it out with us and rocking with us as always. And hopefully we'll be putting out more content as more stuff comes up in the offseason, definitely as in the coming months as we get closer to the draft and all that. But again, thank you guys so much. It really does mean a lot that you guys take the time out of your day to listen to us talk about this basketball team, you know, the one thing that a lot of us just love and care for so much, and we just want them to actually be good again. But again, if you aren't already subscribed, please make sure that you are. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.